Well, hello and welcome to Audionautic Deep Space Network, episode 110. This is the Independent Musician's Guide to Production and Promotion. And this week we've got official confirmation that the Electron Digitact is dead. And the Digitact 2 has come in its place. We'll take a look at what it is, what's new, and if it's worth the new price tag, because there is a difference in price. Then we're going to take a look at the potential ticking clock for TikTok in the U.S. And finally, in the round robin, we'll discuss chasing perfection in our music, time management, and why it might be worth letting go of this idea of perfection or, you know, things like that. My name is Sun Warper, and with me today is Eon Lake. How are you, Eon Lake?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good, buddy. How are you?
That was a buzzer appearance on your end, because he messaged us earlier and was like, I'm not going to make it. It's just busy. And we're like, it's okay. Because he missed last week, too, and we were bummed. We always love seeing you, Eon Lake, but he's here. So how are you? What's up? What have you been up to?
I am happy to be here, and I want to know more about this Digitact release, although I don't know. Maybe I don't. Maybe I want to stick my fingers in my ears, because I have got one. I don't really need to want another one, but
I think that's what we'll talk about, because it adds some cool stuff, but is it worth it if you already have a Digitact? We'll discuss it. But also with us today is Curtis. How are you? Looking like he's from the 1990s.
very bit reduced. Something's going on my internet, but hopefully I don't host the show this week, so I'm off to press the go button. So hopefully it'll clean up. But yeah, I'm here. It's good. It's a good week. It's Sunday. I have everything. I have a brand new sketch station sitting over there, and it's been wonderful in the name of rejuvenating some form of creativity. So I'm in a good space, brother. I'm in a good space. It's cool. It's nice to see. So yeah, we're all good. How are you? I haven't seen you for like 2 weeks at this point. We didn't have a meeting last week.
I don't want to talk about it. it's been a lot, man. But I've been having a lot of fun at like 11 p.m. just ripping samples and messing with Koala Sampler and seeing what comes of it. But I've got a beat set actually out tomorrow, and then like a breakdown of it, because I needed time for my next couple videos. So I was like, I'm just going to record a couple beats. But one of the first one, I really liked the production of it, and it was really quick to make. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about that round robin. So we'll get there. But I've been good, just really busy. This has been completely neglected for like a week and a half. I haven't even been in this studio, the shed, for like literally a week. I've got the SP in there, and then I just moved the Digitact, but it's not plugged in or anything. So hoping to get it set up. But I like the minimal setup. It's interesting. Levi in the chat says, don't let the Digitact Mark II gas get you. I think, Levi, didn't you say on our Discord, which the link is in the description if you want to head there, that you're not excited about it? Let us know, Levi, because I know you've got the Digitact 2 as well, right? And I want to hear from everybody that has the Digitact Mark 1 now, I guess, what they think about this. But we'll get there when we move to that subject. Lars says, I never let Digitact Mark 1 get me. I mean,
I don't know, man.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. It is.
I love mine.
Lars is actually sitting in the green room. He'll be here in the round robin if he's able to stay, because I know sometimes you have to bounce, but Lars is there. And we've also got our new label mate, Jonathan Good, in the green room, who will be joining us in the round robin as well. But before we get to that, let's talk about this Digitact 2, because I know Eon Lake is very curious to hear about it. And there's a lot. So Curtis, do you want to quickly share the video? We'll just show a second of it. It does look a little different. It got a little bit of a face tune.
I like that.
Your volume is real quiet, Curtis.
I'm really quiet today.
Oh, it does? Okay, maybe it's on my end then. I got a different routing right now, so maybe it's all just quiet.
Okay, there. Let me know. Video then. Can people hear me? So the video is here. Let me pop that up.
I think you've gotten completely muted. Or am I muted? That's why.
There we go. So Digitact 2, let's play this through. Let's see. Play this through.
What is it? I can guess.
This looks like an Airbnb.
Digitact 2. The next chapter in the story of this little box of magic. A familiar shape and the same recognizable playfulness, but offering so much more than before. It's a whole different beast under the hood, with many times the power and sonic possibilities of its predecessor. The original Tact fulfilled its potential to the brim and beyond. So what's beyond the brim, you ask?
Let's pause it there because I don't want to get copyright struck, whatever. But as you probably saw, there's a couple new buttons. Curtis, I don't know, while I talk, if you're able to just grab a photo of the front, we'll take a look at what's new. Because they've added, there's a couple new buttons and things like that, but still 16 audio or 16 tracks. Looks like this thing, from where I got the thing, is saying 16 audio tracks, but I think they mean the 8 and 8. But it's stereo sampling now, which is new. I believe it's 20 gigs of space now instead of the 1 gig. There's some new LFO. So there's 3 LFOs. They've added swappable filters, delay, reverb, chorus, bit reduction, sample reduction, and overdrive per track, which that for me is pretty big, the per track, because that's one of the limitations I find with my DigiTact is the bus effect. You can only put things into the same 2 effects. Updated modular workflow, new sequence generator, 128 steps in the sequencer. It used to be just 64. Expanded memory and power, 4 trig modes, and then the song mode. If you look on the picture that Curtis put, there's a new song mode button. So that's cool. Levi, you're saying it's still bus effects. Everything I was seeing was saying it's per pad or per track effects. But yeah, that's more of a bummer then if that's the case. But what I was seeing on from the reports, maybe that was from the leak. So just to clarify, this was originally a leak. And then Electron this morning, just like right when before we went live, put it up. So maybe we're looking at the leak information and it's slightly different from that. So next week, when we have some time to digest the actual release, we can go through what is for real. But from what we were seeing on the leak things, this is what they're saying. Synthopia has it as per track. But it looks like Levi saying Loop Pop Video says bus effect. So that's a bit of a bummer then if that's the same. So that kind of kills some of my excitement. But the song mode is right there, which is nice. There's a couple added buttons and things like that. But it's very much the DigiTact, just with a few added bells and whistles, the stereo sampling, and the larger space. Mm. Eon, like seeing all of that, what's your take as a DigiTact user?
I love eight of those, please. Yeah. I like it. I like the idea of the extra storage. I wonder how much is in the project memory, because that's probably total storage, isn't it? I wonder how much sample memory you have per project. But I like the new functionality. It's maybe, I'm one of those people that when high definition TV came along thought, right, that's nice, why haven't we had that 15 years ago? And I kind of feeling a little bit of this now. It's almost like this is what the original perhaps should have been. I remember thinking when it came out, that's awesome, but 1 gig, really?
Yeah.
I thought that was insane at the time. Didn't stop me getting one and enjoying it. But yeah, I mean, they've hit some of the weak spots. I think really expansion and SD cards and things like that. I mean, that's something that's super useful with the SP. Well, once they changed it from... 32 gig to I don't know what's the limit now. I've got 150 gig card in mine or something. I don't know. It's loads of space, and I wonder if there's any USB-C involved, if any of that can be used for additional storage and file uploading and things like that. I've got lots of questions about it in my head. I mean, the improvements that they've made seem quite obvious. I wonder if they've made any other improvements that are less obvious. That's what I'm thinking. And I will be having a little look at Mr. Lupop's video.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're going off of some of the earlier leaks. So some of the information it sounds like is different than what has been confirmed with the release. So the release video just came out 57 minutes ago. So we just threw it in so we could show it. But we're going off of the leak stuff. So it's probably good that we'll cover it again kind of next week with like what for real is happening. This is just, I mean, it's breaking. It's very interesting. So Curtis, you saw this first. So what's your take on this? Because you were texting me. I was like, whoa. And when you texted me that you were just going to, if you had the money, you'd get one.
I would, yeah. I kind of want the DigiTact. I think it's your videos that kind of put me onto the idea of a DigiTact. The only thing that's been stopping me is the price. And yes, this is more expensive. the, but I, it does kind of make me go, it does intrigued me in that, it does intrigue me as a brain for something that's doorless and for essentially a nice piece of gear for sampling and moving stuff around and being on the fly. Very intrigued by that. And I like the upgrades that they've brought in. I think the upgrades that they've brought in are ones that very much fix the limitations of the Digitech and made me shy away from seriously considering the original Digitech. So yeah, I'm all for this. It's a grand, and that's less entertaining. But you know, in a couple of years, there'll be some secondhand ones for sure. So, and that's fundamentally where I'd be looking. I can't snap it up now, but I'd love to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being too cheap wasn't a problem they needed to fix, was it?
No, yeah. I'm not convinced as a Digitech user. I mean, I'm somewhat new to it, right? But a lot of the things they've added are stuff I wanted before I bought the Digitech. But I'm not sure that what they've added convinces me to upgrade, so to speak. Especially because
I don't think you'd need to. Yeah,
exactly. The space would be nice, but I have the SP connected with the Digitech that offsets any of that issue. One thing I really wanted to see was polyphony in the sample tracks, and I don't think it's added that. I don't see that anywhere. If it does, that makes it a bit of a difference for me. And then the four voice polyphony is always a bit of an issue, but the workaround of just having it on multiple tracks solves that for me. But yeah, I mean, other than that space stuff and having a couple of the more button prompty combos as just an isolated button, those are nice upgrades. I think as a new user, this really is nice, all the additions and stuff like that. But if you're an existing user, I don't think it's enough to fully justify it. From like a YouTuber standpoint, I would love to get it to cover like all of the updates and things like that. But as a music producer, I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
Go ahead for it, man.
It's the same, really. I've already got other samplers because of any potential shortcomings. I've got the black box because it will stream from disk, and the SP obviously has got loads of potential and removable storage and stuff like that. I wonder. I feel like, you know, I love Electron. I love the build quality of these things. They're like aircraft grade. They've got great buttons. You know, the knobs on them are really solid. They're good bits of kit to have. They feel professional. But at the same time, I mean, because of all the step locking functionality they had, when they came out, they seemed to be, you know, pushing the boundaries a little bit, finding new and interesting ways to do things, and the way you could, you know, copy your pattern, mash it up, and then just paste it back on again to undo your changes. I like that kind of stuff. Now, this feels like an interim update more than anything, and more a spec update rather than, you know, they don't seem to be pushing, you know, the boundaries quite as much, you know, compared to what other people are doing. I'm thinking Teenage Engineering and Roland mainly, but, you know, there are probably others as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking, Curtis, I'll go to you in a second, but you were talking about USB-C. From these leak photos, it seems like the Electron website just won't load for me. Maybe it's just because of the sheer amount of people trying to visit it. But from these leak photos, I'm not seeing USB-C on the back. It still looks like the same connections on the back. That, to me, is a bit of a bummer, because USB-C on the 404 is really cool when you can power it and send audio at the same time to the computer. I mean, I'd love to see like Overbridge with the power and all that type of stuff. So yeah, I hear what you mean, kind of an interim upgrade. I think it's cool what it adds for any new user. Levi's saying it's up on Perfect Circuit. Let me try and find that. Curtis, go ahead. I'm going to try and pull up. I want to get some official pictures. So what were you going to say, Curtis?
Yeah, just I've been along the similar lines, really. The notion of there's not much point in upgrading, so to speak, if you have a Mark One, going to Mark Two doesn't seem to be enough in there to justify spending all that money just to get a better or a supposedly better box. But what it does do is, for someone like myself who hasn't got any Digitech or anything like that, that suddenly makes it much more attractive. You know, like in the world of the samplers and in the world of where it's going, suddenly it makes it a much more attractive option when you have. There are other limitations, for example, in other samplers, be it the Teenage Engineering or be it Roland, but the price makes it better in that regard, and you can kind of live with that. So, yeah, I think for it's definitely geared towards people who are getting into sampling, or they want to buy a sampler, so to speak, and they don't already have one, as opposed to people like yourselves who have them in their own right, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I wanted to approach it from both positions, because we have Digitech users and someone who doesn't have it. So it's good to look at. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer if you're interested in a Digitech but don't have one. I mean, the two definitely adds a lot more that's really useful. And from looking at the Perfect Circuit, it says the original Digitech had 8 tracks of mono sampling, and then I'm just going to add that 8 tracks of MIDI. They're saying Digitech goes double in both respects with 16 stereo tracks. Any of the 16 tracks may be used as a MIDI track. So now you can have, like, it sounds like 16 MIDI tracks and 16 audio tracks, but definitely the 16 MIDI tracks, which that is really cool that you can do all that. You can just kind of customize even more. So I mean, I love the Digitech for its MIDI control, because you can put a MIDI hub on it and control like your whole setup with it. And now having even more MIDI options, that's crazy. Again, or more on the storage. Digitech 2 has 20 gigabytes of internal storage. The 64 MB of sample RAM from the original has been expanded to 400. The prior 128 sample per project restriction has been expanded to 1,024 samples per project. So there are some pretty good upgrades in that. I also like that they put the machines as a button, if I saw that right, that you don't have to hit that function prompt to get to the machine. So there are some really cool things. I really like that you can have 16 tracks of either. That, to me, is very cool.
I agree with that one.
I think it is 16 tracks of audio and MIDI, though.
It sounds like it's one, or like you can do either. I'll take a deeper look, because we're live. I'm reading this just as we're live. But the way they've written it, it sounds like it can do either, because it says the Digitech 2 goes double in both respects with 16 stereo tracks. Any of the 16 tracks may be used as MIDI tracks. So stereo tracks would have to be audio, so that would be the sample tracks, and then saying that it does 16 MIDI. So I think it does both, or can do both. Like, what, you know, you can...
I'm thinking 16 total between them.
I'm not sure they're saying 16 stereo tracks.
Yeah, MIDI isn't... if you don't do any MIDI.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you can choose, like, customize. Like, I want 15 of this and then a couple of that. I'm not sure. Or, you know, one of that or whatever. But at least it sounds like it has a little more flexibility in that regard.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Again, we're just discovering all of this. We saw the leaks, and then it sounds like some of this stuff is a little different from the leaks. So it's good to see kind of an official statement, but it happened right before we went live. So we're discovering it all with you. Yeah. Gentlemen, anything else before we move on to the next topic? Curtis?
I think we're all good. I think we're all good.
All right. Yeah. Bring us to the next topic then, Curtis.
Well, we go from hardware into software, and this is more of a public service announcement, and we've reached out. We hope to do a little bit more on this in the coming weeks. But essentially, if I bring this up here, does that do that thing?
Essentially,
there we go. Audio Kit Pro have released the Nerd Synth, which is a great name, inspired by the Nord Lead A1. So I'm just going to pop this in here. Audio Kit Pro, very dynamic soft synth company. We've done a couple of demos with them over the past year or so, and they've just added another collection. It's a full polyphonic synthesizer. I'm going to put this. What I'm going to do actually is I'm going to stop sharing this one, and I'm going to share this one once the advert has gone, so that we can see. So I can read off my notes and show you what the video is going down as well. Give me a second here. So I'll bring this one up. Yeah, there we go. This is how it's looking in its own regard. So this is the A2X virtual analog modeling synth. It's a 64 voice retro synth, It's a classic hardware style arpeggio, three LFOs, two assignable pads, three different algorithms in there as well. Effects like reverb, analog tape delay, distortion, flanger, chorus, bit crush in there, and ring modulation, which is really nice. And it can be found in all DAWs and on the iOS store. It's based off of the Nord A1, which is really, really cool in its own right. Do you want me to just go ahead and play the video?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. I'll go round up to here, background, so we can see what's going down.
A1 is my home screen. So I took my favorite parts and reimagined it to make the iOS app that I'd want to play.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, we've covered a lot of audio kit sounds, and like the King of Bass, King of FM, there was the Sega synth or what, a Saga synth, the NES synth or whatever. We've covered quite a bit of them. They're all on the channel if you want to check them out. They're very high quality. Some of them are free, and then the ones that aren't are pretty low cost, which is really cool. Yeah, they're awesome. This one looks great.
It's only $5 as well.
Yeah, exactly. Is that an entry cost or is that its official like long-term cost?
It says it's available now for $4.99. Let me just double check. Yeah, it's nothing about an intro price or anything. And it's just going to go for it. All their stuff is really cheap and really good and really nice. And if you're looking just to get going, they've got some great presets straight out the box. And if you know, a lot of people have iPads these days, and you can just kind of pick one up really cheap. It's really, really interesting. Really interesting entryway. I work with a lot of young producers who are starting to make their first beats and stuff, and they want the flashy stuff, they want the serum, and they want pigments and stuff like that, and they want all this really expensive gear. And I'm like, just go see AudioKit. You've got an iPad, just go to AudioKit. It's great, and you can just play around and have a lot of fun with it. It's amazing.
Not to mention, a phone or an iPad works as a nice companion for any sampler. Especially if you MIDI sync them, you know, but sampling into like the SP or the Digitact with that, you get these Nord sounds or, you know, whatever sound you're using. Like the King of FM, I use all the time with my samplers for piano to get that like FM piano type sound and things like that. So yeah, for cheap costs, you can get a really nice synth without having to pay for, you know, some really expensive analog synth or something, and you get some cool sounds. Ian, like, what's your take?
I like the look of it. Actually, I'm going to have a little nosy.
There you go.
Yep. Might be taking them up on that one. It's
instead of buying gear, now you're going to buy apps.
If I think I have a use for it, I think there's a couple of things that will do that I don't really have a lot of. And, you know, it's minimal outlay. I'll probably just put it on the iPad or something, you know. And like you say, it's another thing to sample off.
Exactly.
It's all about portability. It's all about portability. Like, I don't have an iPad, sadly. It's still something I don't have, but over there, like I say, I've been building the sketch station, and you know, the whole point of it is it can all fit in a backpack and it can just all go away, and I can just go sit in the park and do it. It's all battery powered and stuff like that, right?
We've got a similar thing,
yeah. It'd be an amazing little kind of like addition to that, and you know, you can have an arsenal on, you can have a whole entire arsenal on your iPad or on your tablet. And you know, it's just those, you can get bogged down and you can get so kind of hoity-toity when it comes to like having a room full of hardware, paralysis of analysis, just having something just there which you can just pick up and play. And I don't think you can beat it at this stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly kind of like what I want to talk about with the round robin similarly, you know, just like minimizing and just getting things done and stuff. When you have all that, it's that option paralysis. So it's nice. If you need it, like there's just an app, you just open it, you can just use it right on your phone, on your iPad. So yeah.
Get that one completely and utterly. So yeah, we've reached out to AudioKit Pro. Hopefully we'll get a demo in the next week or two. We'll have to see. That's PSA on that one. Go check it out. Always really fun. We will go on that journey with you, hopefully, as we pick one up.
Yeah, definitely. I love those AudioKit synths, man. It's so nice just being right on the phone. I use them all the time. If I'm bored, I just go on my phone, start playing King of FM or something. You know,
King of Bass as well.
Oh, that one's
sounds out of that.
Man, yeah. You can get some nice 808s and stuff with that one. Yeah,
Exactly. So it's going to be fun. Go check it out, especially if you're in the game for something cheap. I've recently discovered there's different levels to your gear acquisition syndrome, isn't it? You've got your big purchases, and every so often, just top yourself up with a little soft synth here and there, just a little VST or a little effect here. Just keep that arsenal growing in the best of ways for you.
Keep the gas at bay, right? It's like a Tums or something. A little soft synth or a little. That's all you need. Audio Tums. You know, you're just like, oh, I really need stuff. I'll just get an app.
Perfect. It's a great way. It's a great way of putting it. Go pick that one up. Now we are a music production, electronic music based show, and what would we do if it wasn't for the algorithms of TikTok? We did have a request from our patrons to talk about the algorithms of Instagram. However, we thought on this occasion, because this came up, that we might need to focus on this is a bit more newsworthy in that regard. So Lars, don't worry, we will get back to Instagram and the murky world of their algorithms, but for now, or lack thereof. That's a very good point. Yes. However, for now, Sumwhopper, tell us all about what's going on over with TikTok at your end of the world, shall we?
Yeah. So I just saw this, and there was no news until like 30 minutes before we went live. So we're like, well, we need to just kind of throw these things up. So if you want us to cover any of this stuff more in detail, AudioKit, TikTok, all that stuff, let us know. But we want to just bring awareness to this, because this is an interesting thing. So it looks like we had talked about a TikTok ban in the House a while ago, and it looks like it went through. And now President Biden on Wednesday signed a law that would ban the Chinese-owned TikTok unless it is sold within a year. We've got the report from NPR, and they're saying that the law isn't expected to cause immediate disruption, obviously, because there's it's supposed to sell within a year, but there's expected legal challenges and some other things having to deal with selling the app. It looks like this measure was tucked into a bill that was also providing foreign aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. And the law stipulates that ByteDance must sell its stake in TikTok within 12 months under the threat of being shut down, I guess, in America. Pretty crazy.
It's all coming to a head. Now, okay, we've had this a couple of times, right? We've had these kind of like nudges towards TikTok being banned. This is not the first time we've heard something like this. Does this feel different in that regard, I suppose, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, it's signed into a law. So it's not just rumors or theorizing or working to get it into a thing. This is like, this could be serious. I mean, if it's serious in the way that this could cause something to happen. Lars in the chat says they had to sneak that in. I know it, of course, it's just in another, it's a measure in another thing, you know, all about foreign aid and all that, but oh yeah, we'll ban TikTok too. So yeah. Eon Lake, thoughts? I know you're the biggest TikTok fan. So
yeah, I'm totally on TikTok. I want to give them all my data and all my friends' data. No, I find myself wondering, what the hell took so long? I mean, you know, I can understand objections that they might have, but what I can't understand, I mean, imagine how much information could have been gathered. If you think it's a security risk for whatever reason, if that's the angle, then, you know, I mean, they've been around for years now.
Yeah, and what about all the other social medias? Just because they're in the States or somewhere else, it's okay that, you know, things like that.
So your information's
really quickly. Levi says he's got to bounce for a meeting. No worries. Thanks for hopping by. Coming by. We always love having you here. Have a good meeting. And I also just want to add, Lars says, and I think he's right, it's going to take years to get through the courts. Yeah, there'll be tons of things. But I think it just feels a little more serious, just the fact that it passed, it went through, and then Biden signed it into law. It is something a bit more serious than just potentialities of like, hey, this could get, you know, voted, like, okay, you know. Lars echoed the same sentiment I was mentioning. Meta already has all your data, so yeah.
Yeah.
True. And that's why what I find it quite interesting in that regard is that it was tucked into a bill providing foreign aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. And so this is a move in that regard, because, you know, it's election season, that kind of thing. It doesn't seem to be taking too much and putting money outside of the American borders too quickly. And then, so it's using this as a scapegoat to kind of push it through in that regard. That's with my tinfoil hat on quite firmly, if that wasn't clear enough. But the notion of, you know, it's being there. I feel like a lot of Americans in that regard make quite a nice living off of TikTok, and that their businesses would suffer if it wasn't for TikTok. And now, you can argue for the whole data mining thing, but then, you know, like you've already said, the data mining goes everywhere. The data mining is seen consistently across all social media. So it feels a bit scapegoaty.
It's slightly different amounts. I do think it varies. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. They're all there to learn about you and to sell that unique view on you that they get to advertisers and to farm your attention. But I do think there's a sliding scale of data slurping going on.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, the question is whether it's going to... Because you're quite active on TikTok, aren't you, somewhat? You use it quite effectively and quite...
I mean, I figure I have these shorts, like an AI makes the short, might as well just throw it everywhere. It's on an old phone of mine that I don't use. So I just go on there, send the airdrop the video, and then post it, and then don't go on it again until I have another video to post. I am not a fan of the TikTok algorithm because it is very weird. And I think you can get some very weird shadow bans and stuff like that. Like, when Music for Imagine Landscapes released, I was posting videos like every day, and they were getting views, like 1,000 views per video, let's say, right? And they were getting comments and things like that. And then I started mentioning, like, the song is out. Go, you know, out on Bandcamp and Spotify, because you're not supposed to send people off TikTok. That's like a legit way to get shadow banned. Like, you'll get reduced algorithm if you're saying, like, go to the link in bio or put a link, like any of that stuff. TikTok wants you to keep their users on TikTok. But it seemed like even just mentioning, like, on Bandcamp and Spotify and things, all of a sudden I posted a couple videos and they got like 5 views, 15 views, down from like 1,000 or something. So it was just really bizarre. And then I just didn't post for 2 weeks. And then I posted again and boom, 1,000 views or whatever. So I have the content. So I figure, why not just put it out? You know,
just throw it out, and you know, if you don't lose anything by not putting it out, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, if one person from there goes, oh, I like these production shorts, his YouTube link is in the bio, I'll just check out his YouTube, like, well, that's a win. You know, I got someone over to my YouTube. The other thing that I do like about TikTok is their integration with as a music artist, their integration with like Spotify and stuff. There's some new artist specific things on TikTok. If you link your page as an artist page, it has a music section. You can see who on TikTok has used your songs in a TikTok. There's a couple little things. I mean, I would like to see that on the other social media platforms, and they all copy each other. I don't know why they haven't done that yet, but I guess that's because artists are always like the bottom of the barrel for these social media companies. But yeah. What about you, Curtis? I mean, you have a TikTok. You use it for Audionautic. I mean, what's your thoughts? It doesn't really affect you, I know, because it, you know, you're not in the US,
but yeah, I'm the same as you in that regard. I put stuff out there, and it's the last, you know. I do the Instagram, I do the X.com, do the Threads, and then TikTok is just there. And it goes, you know. I've always shied away from it, and I always do encourage people who are in our game to not bother so much with TikTok, just because it's where you move from artist, so to speak, to content creator, which is not necessarily a bad thing. If that's what you want to go for, that's what you want to go for. But it's not geared towards artistic expression and authenticity in the same way that, say, Shorts or Instagram is. You know, the change that we've seen on Instagram towards authenticity and less polished work and that kind of thing that hasn't been replicated in TikTok. So I just think it's just, it exists. And the same as you, it's just, yeah, all right, put it out there, but I'm not really fussed. I don't watch anything about it. I don't care about my numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really just like, well, if you have the content for Instagram or for YouTube Shorts, you might as well just put it there. But then TikTok recently was trying to push long form, 16:9 content. So who knows? These social media algorithms always change at random at the whims of their, you know, owners or whatever. So I feel like, well, if you have the content, put it up. But I think this is really interesting. And like you were saying, Curtis, those who have monetization and rely on TikTok in the US for money or to pay the bills or something, this is a very interesting advancement or change. So, yeah, I think if it goes through, it's going to take a really long time. There's going to be lawsuits, whatever, you know, challenges, things like that. So we'll just have to see. But we just wanted to report this. And I would say if you do use TikTok or if you like using TikTok or something, consider posting to other platforms if you don't already and try to figure out maybe getting those to grow, how you can get those to grow. Even just YouTube Shorts, start doing that, because YouTube's the second biggest search engine. So, I mean, I tell everyone, just go, if you make content, just put it on YouTube in whatever format. I think Shorts is the least viable format for YouTube, especially now as a partner. I can tell you the Shorts payouts are ridiculously low. Like, it's 1,000 views will get you about 5 to 10 cents if you're lucky. Whereas 1,000 views on a YouTube long form video will get you anywhere from $2 to maybe $5 or $10, depending on your niche and the CPM and all this revenue per mil, whatever. But yeah, it's a very different payout system.
Very much so. And it just proves that as an independent musician, you cannot rely on algorithmic platforms to, you know, make money, to sell your merch or share anything like that. And, you know, Bandcamp, things like that are the best way to support the independent artist. So if you happen to be on Bandcamp supporting your local indie artist, we have a brand new label mate in Jonathan Good, who put out his debut LP with us, Juxtaposition Junction. Wonderful piece of onomatopoeia. Is it onomatopoeia? It is not onomatopoeia, yes. Juxtaposition Junction, wonderful LP, 9 tracks long. Beautiful collection, wonderful artwork made and brought to us online. And it's a real classic. Got released today. It's on Bandcamp before it will go anywhere else on streamers on Friday. But for now, it's really cool. And yeah, it's just it's a great way to support independent musicians directly. If you're talking about 1,000 views on YouTube Shorts, for example, which is a couple of cents, you know, buying it, buying a track for $1 or buying the whole thing is equivalent to thousands and thousands of streams. And this is the best way. And this is an amazing collection of sonics. Jonathan has worked tirelessly and it's been great working with him. He's in the green room, so you can hear everything I'm saying. He's coming in for the round robin after we've done the community corner this week. And yeah, so next week we're going to be having a sit down with Jonathan for the whole episode. Thank you very much for putting that in the chat.
You got it. And,
here you go, bro. And we'll be talking all about the album. It's a collection of stories all together in one big saga. And it's amazing. It's complete IDM. There's an ambient twist to it as well. Yeah, anything you want to say about that, Sunwarper?
Some serious IDM bangers on there. Yeah. When I was mastering it, I was like, wow. So Jonathan wanted to talk story for next week. So we'll be talking about, because there's a story to the album, to the title and all that. But I was like, if you didn't want to talk about that, I wanted to talk about your drum production, because it's insane. I love his approach to drums. There's a lot of nuance to the sound. There's a lot of random sounds that pop up and come out and like appear, and really love that approach. Kind of reminds me of that, like, not manic Aphex Twin vibe, but like there's all these things always happening and just like new sounds popping up and things like that. So yeah, I would highly recommend checking it out. It'll be on streaming on Friday, but it's up on Bandcamp. That is the best way to support musicians and things like that. But we're just really happy to release this album with Jonathan. It sounds like it was a long time in the process, and it's a really good album. So yeah, I recommend you check it out.
Eon Lake, we didn't tell you that this one was coming out. It must be a bit of a surprise to you.
No, I did actually see that it was coming out because, you know, I did keep my ear to the ground and I will be listening. Of course, I'll be listening, especially now, actually. quite up for it after that description.
There you go.
Sounds up my alley.
I think it is up your alley.
Drums, you know they're going to be all right with me.
There you go.
But I know what you mean. I like to have a lot of interest in things where it's not too static. There's always something new coming along to keep you interested.
Yeah. So, Speaking of something new to keep interest, next week, or actually I think this weekend, we'll be doing Starstream. So for all of our patrons, we haven't been as good this month about letting you know, but Starstream will be Sunday, right?
Sunday
at 11 a.m. Pacific, which is when we go live normally on Wednesdays for ADSN. So whatever time this is right now, minus 56 minutes, and that's when we'll go live if you're watching this live. But I believe that's 8 p.m. your time, Curtis, and 7 p.m. UTC, correct?
It sure is.
Wow, look at that. Look at that. No sleep, and I'm still holding on to that time. But Star Streams are our patron exclusive podcast hangouts. We hang out, we talk gear, all that type of stuff. Usually patrons will bring something they want to talk about. Last month we were talking what we were currently listening to, and then we discussed some production things and stuff like that. But it's a place where we just talk about the kind of stuff that, if you mentioned, you know, LFOs or envelope followers or something out in the real world, someone else's eyes would just glaze over and they'd say you're crazy. But here we're like, oh, how'd you do that? Well, let's talk. Oh, what if you try this? What if you do that? So it's a great place. There's also, for patrons, a Discord channel specific for patrons, exclusive to them, where we talk about all that type of stuff every day, day in and day out. So we don't do sponsors here on the show. So if you want to help support the show and help us do more of this, keep up with StreamYard, where we can do things like this. Consider heading to patreon.com/audionautic. It is the best way to help support the show and the channel, and it helps us keep doing this week in and week out and do demos and things like that when we can check out what's new. And I see Curtis put the link. It's right there, and it will be in the description. And if you're watching back on Spotify and Apple, it'll be in the show notes. But massive thanks to all of our patrons who support us. Two of them are in the green room. That's another perk. You get to come on the show in the round robin, which we're heading to in just a second, gentlemen. So get ready if you're good to hop on. And a lot of our members or patrons, I get confused because YouTube members, patrons, it's like, yeah, they're in the chat week in and week out. We love you guys. It's awesome to always have you and hear your opinions on all this. Curtis, anything you want to add or anything that I missed before we bring in the round robin?
Oh, let's go for it. Is there the round robin has been your baby this week? I don't know how excited you are to get to it. Let's go for it.
Yeah, can you just briefly, while I ask the two patrons in the chat, just briefly describe what the round robin is? And gentlemen, are you guys good to go to come in? Give me a thumbs up if you are.
Yeah, we got four thumbs. It's great.
Yeah, lots of thumbs. Yeah.
Exactly. So the round robin is our community discussion section of the show. This is like, I suppose you could say, like a mini Star Stream in that regard. We take an idea, be it existential, be it about production, be it about techniques or whatever, and we just discuss it, share ideas in the name of Together We Grow, because, you know, sharing ideas is always a good way to kind of reflect on your own processes and see if there's anything that you can take away from anyone. So, hi guys, Lars, Jonathan. I hope you guys are well. It's cool. I love the fact that we've got more glasses than non-glasses. It makes me feel a lot better about myself on this particular occasion.
Mine not to be like, mate.
I don't have glasses, so
exactly. Yes.
I have sunglasses, but they're
I don't know.
Yeah, I've been holding on. Yeah, like I still got 20/20, so I'm fighting the aging. But staring at this computer all the time does not help. That's why I go Dallas.
So good.
And so I got 20/20 vision and perfect hair. Oh.
Only.
We'll see what happens. Lars, are you well, brother? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm hanging in there, having a great time. How are you guys?
Digging the shirt.
Kicking it.
Mm. Oh, appreciate that. Am I 30 or 40 years old? I don't know anymore.
I think closer to like 17 or 18. I'm just kidding, man.
Thank you.
Jonathan, how are you, my friend? Feeling good with the release day?
Yep, very good. I must admit, I completely forgot that it was released today. So that was a surprise when it turned up in my inbox. So took me by surprise, that one.
That's the best kind of release day. No pressure of like, oh, tomorrow's the release. What am I going to do? It just, oh, crap, it released. Okay. That's what we got you covered. We had it on and we were ready to go.
Exactly. It's like, you know, it's one of the benefits of putting it up to a label. It's like we take care of all the back office stuff, just tagging a few posts, and all you have to do is just go, yeah, it happened. It's great. You can carry on. Great album, Jonathan. Thank you ever so much for working with us on it. It's great. And we're looking forward to next week. We can come sit and talk about it. It's going to be fun.
Thank you.
So let's get into the round robin. So what I wanted to talk about today was Lars just like
rocks into a black
hole. I'm going to just mute Lars while he sorts it out. But quickly, with my whole Lars is gone right now. So we'll just wait till he'll comes back with him. But anyways, haven't had any time in the studio, as I mentioned. So I've been just making beats in Koala, just sampling things, seeing what happens. And I've been making them on the iPhone speaker. Not worrying about, you know, like the mix until when I finally put it through the SP, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take the low end down or, you know, do this and that. But really, it's just to kind of get those reps in and the muscle memory and fire the neurons of beat making when I can't get out here and things like that. And I've been trying to up my video production to once a week. And I've put out some videos that have done like been my best performing videos yet since then. And I've been letting go of some of the worry about, you know, like I need these perfect chops. Like I don't want silence right here, but, you know, just focus on the first minute, do this and that. And so really what I want to get at is learning this perfect is the enemy of done. And I'm not saying make crap and I'm not saying rush to make things, but like we've done one server challenge already on our Discord where you had a month to make a song. I did it in a day, and then we've got another one coming, but there was another server, the DiBiase, who did those sample flips with Serato Studio last year or 2 years ago, has his Discord channel, and he did a challenge where you get a sample and then you have to flip it in like 3 days or a week, and I took part in it while trying to do the videos, while trying to do Audionautic and all that, and I spent maybe an hour like flipping it, and I loved the way it turned out. And so it just had me thinking about this, like rather than worrying about, oh, I need to fix the bass or I need to do this, just like get it done and then go from there. So I'm happy to expand more on kind of like where I'm going with it, but I would like to hear, let's start maybe with Eon. Like, would you be up for talking about this a little bit, or shall I have Curtis go first because he's prepared for it? So
let's go with Curtis, because no, I wanted to start chipping in with the other stuff otherwise.
All right, so let's start with Curtis because he has a lot. And then after we hear from everybody, I'll talk what a little more of like what I've learned from this stage of just trying to get things done and stuff like that. But Curtis, if you don't mind, please go on.
Not at all. I'll admit I wrote two paragraphs and then realized just about 5 minutes before we going up that I completely missed the point of what you're getting on about. But I do have something to say. So yeah, I'm just going to put that out there. But I hear what you're saying. And, you know, perfect is the enemy of done. And it's completely correct. And I echo what you're saying in that regard. I think in a similar vein, in a different way, because we have different workflows, the notion of being okay with just not putting out the rough cut, so to speak, but putting out something that is done, setting yourself a deadline. There's a nice kind of journey in that. At the beginning, it could be a bit more stressful because you, like you say, you're obsessing over these tiny little bits that no one's ever talking about anyway. But that first step is a real nice step into growth, because first and foremost, for me at least, there's this notion of, you know, it's a bit rough, it's not perfect. But then you realize it doesn't really matter. And actually you become a lot more creative in that sense because you have let go of any predetermined notion of what is perfect in that regard. And that quest for perfection, sitting on something for a long ass time, just to slow you down. It just get you, and you get, suddenly you start questioning yourself and questioning your creativity when you know, it's only these modern zeitgeisty ideas of what is perfect, or what is good, or what is going to be clickable or playlistable or something contentable, you know. Mm-hmm. And you just realize that it's just sound waves which are put together in a certain fashion, and that's all it is. It's nothing more than that, and it's great. That's what I'm at in that regard.
Yeah, let me add a little too, because what I should give some context as to why I've come to this conclusion or gotten here, because for the longest time I was all about just taking a ton of time on a track and just constantly nudging, you know, raising the volume here, dropping the pitch or dropping the bass. So now the hi-hats are too loud, doing this and that. And what's that?
14 masters.
Oh, that's on the low end, 14 masters. That was on the low end. But what I'm getting at is, like, my first album, it took me, I think, 4 or 5 years to make. And I was sitting on those same 10 or 12 songs. I had a couple extras, but I was learning how to do this type of stuff, right? So that was part of it. But that, where my imposter syndrome, and then that whole idea of going, it's got to be perfect. Like, whoever's listening, I don't want to get criticism for the drums are too loud or this and that. First of all of those ideas are typically subjective. Someone's loud drums may be someone else's perfect drums and things like that. So I don't, but you want to make it to sound good for you, because you're the one making it, right? And that kind of is where I started to get to it. But then just weighing the cost benefit of, like, I'm just putting all this time into the song and I'm not even creating anymore. All I'm doing is analyzing it, right? And then finishing the track means I can move on and learn something new in a new track. So that's kind of where I got to this idea of, yeah, perfect is the enemy of done. I want it to sound impeccable. I want it to sound excellent, but it's never going to sound perfect. Something will always be too loud or too quiet. And then to get to that point, it was all practice, and practice comes from finishing a track, moving on to the next one and things like that. So that's where I came to this conclusion and how I got here. Hopefully that helps clarify what I wanted to talk about. I'm curious, really, I bring this to the table because I want to hear everybody's kind of approach to their production. Do you try to make things just, like, perfect? You keep working on the same couple of songs, or do you let it go and go, yeah, I like what it sounds like. I'm not going to make this hi-hat louder or quieter. I'm going to call it and move on to the next one. Eon Lake, let's start with you, because I saw you just going...
No,
Mr. 90 tracks. Yeah, you talk about me with 14 masters, which is on the low end. Usually it's like 20. Yeah. But you do have like 90 tracks.
A few mixes, and I rarely do more than two masters. But anyway, I think there's still this, and we've talked about this before, this assumption that, you know, for something to be good, you have to really slave over it. You know, you have to work really hard, you know, give it your absolute best. And it's an absolute fallacy. We know this, you know, it's almost the opposite, where, you know, your best work comes when you have a clear, unfettered connection to something that wants to come out, and you manage to express it quickly, and it just happens. You know, you hear this from famous artists talking about writing songs where it's like, oh, I just banged it out in 5 minutes. It just came, you know. We still have this, like, oh, you got to work hard, you got to really focus, you got to make it good, you know. And what you need to remember that good means a lot of different things. And, you know, especially with music that's electronic, you still want to try and get some sort of vibe in that. And what you don't want to do is spend months absolutely killing it stone dead, making sure that you've beaten every semblance of life out of it before finally letting it go to be scrutinized. You know, it's just, apart from anything else, it's a bit of a vanity as well. You know, I know we want our stuff to be good and be as good as it can be, but thinking that these tiny infinitesimal tweaks that we're making, that anyone other than us is going to give a shit about, that is, you know, you're deluding yourself. And it is a little vain, really, just to think that anyone will care. The main thing is that you capture, you know, something, some, you know, for me, you know, is there some sort of human emotion? Is there some idea that comes across clearly with it? You know, even if it's got a few flaws in it that said, you know, this was done by a person, you know, then that's more important. Good means a lot of different things. You know, it means that it has something in it that moves you in some way. Not it was tuned to perfection and the bass drum is in the same key as the bass. And it's just, there's a lot of things you can obsess about in this game. It really does lend itself to it. But things like that are the enemies of sort of creation and flow and feel. And it took me too long to realize some of this stuff that, you know, in a sense, you want to try and get things quite quickly so that, you know, there's still a vibe to it before you really start, you know, slogging away.
Yeah, I just want to interject really quick, because one thing I always notice, and I've from some of my favorite bands too, is that the demo, you never capture that sound again. You know, you get that demo where you love the guitar and then you try to replicate it, but now you're replicating it. It just loses that raw emotion or that expressive emotion that was in the original.
Yeah, or you keep that and it just doesn't sit in all the new stuff you did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it can be so esoteric, it can be so elusive, but that kind of, that for me is the magic about the whole thing. I like that. I like that it's that way. And as far as, you know, if you really do want to scrutinize what you're doing, I find it easier to be working on a lot of different songs, so that gives me my perspective. I'm not zoned in on one thing for ages and ages and ages, and then I listen to something else. I keep chopping and changing. I work on songs interleaved because it makes sense for me to do that. It helps keep the interest up. And it's also because I'm list driven in the way that I'm doing overdubs and edits and so on. So I'm working through a list of things I wanted to do anyway, and then I'm bouncing out a result and moving on to the next one. So it's a bit like workman-like, which is why I like that idea of like music reps, getting the reps. Yeah.
That's what. Yeah, I mean, that's really where you don't learn unless you're doing, right. And so the more you do these things, the more you get to a point where you know what you want in the track. Like when I go in Koala and I see the drums, I'm like, oh, I know I don't want that frequency. I just do it real quick. But 5 years ago, I was meticulously trying to figure it out. So I'm not saying this is like the point to be at the start, but that's how you get there, is by repping it out. And Lars, I'm curious to hear your take on this. Curtis, you keep freezing in these really interesting positions that I want to just like go completely to highlight you. The last one, you were just like smiling while Eon Lake was talking. You just seem so enraptured by what he was saying.
I was, yeah.
Lars, what's your take on this? Oh, I'm not hearing you. Is anybody hearing him?
Yeah. No. Not getting him.
You're unmuted, so check your microphone settings.
Cool.
Interesting. Jonathan, if you don't mind going then while Lars sorts it out. Lars, I'm just going to mute you in case you come on.
Yeah, so I think it's the way I certainly approach the music making is pretty much similar to what everyone has just said. I remember there was reading it in a music book. There was an old saying which was to write drunk and then mix sober, so that, you know, you just put whatever idea comes into your head in the mix, put it down. Because like you said, it's like dreams. Sometimes you'll have the idea. If you don't get it down, then you might not remember it again. And it'll bug you and frustrate you for ages. I've had lots of memories like that where I couldn't quite just get the original down because I didn't get it down quick enough. And similar to you, Sun Warper, I use a lot of just cheap piano plugins on an iPhone. So, and just tinker with a melody, with the chord progression. And I'll also screen record those so that I can see exactly what notes I've been playing. I can see what chords I've been playing as well. And even though the fact that if it sounds good on a basic instrument, like a cheap piano on an iPhone, then it's going to sound even better when you get to put it through a proper synthesizer. So yeah, there's a lot of things I'll do like that. And I'll have a lot of sketches as well where I won't necessarily be working to include that in a song at some point, but knowing that it will fit into some form of song later on. So I'll leave it for a couple of months and then I will come back to it then. And then you'll have a fresh new perspective on it. So also as well, the mixing, when you listen to some of the records from the 70s and the 60s, where they don't have the technology that we do now. And, you know, that's partly why they with us for so long, is because of their imperfections, because of some of the flaws in the recording. That's what makes the record And like Eon Lake says, that's what you know has been made by a human being. They put their soul into it. That you know, it's good to hear the slight flaws sometimes, because you know it's being played with passion at the time, and you can really get that kind of emotion through in the music. And yeah, sometimes the first take is the best take. Sometimes,
yeah, very much. I like what you said too, because that's a really good point about those older recordings that were recorded on tape or something. Like, I love listening to those and hearing those little, oh, that's off time, or that's this, that, but you, that's like what makes it special, hearing that. And that is another thing that, yeah, it's like I like to shut Quantize off when I'm doing hi-hats or something, because I want that to sound a little wonky, to give that human element, because when everything's locked in on the grid, it just becomes so robotic, you know. And it's, yeah, it's nice to get that emotion, which the emotion really comes from those slight imperfections and things like that, or the guitar is just a little out of tune from everything else or something. Lars, you want to see if your microphone's working?
Okay, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. What's your take, Lars?
So years ago, I made a rule for myself that, like, I am not going to do more than 3 to 5 passes on a particular song, because, you know, I always, like, I'll start the mixing and then I'll send it over to, like, you know, master or whatever. And if I come back from, like, you know, whatever kind of master I came up with, and it's like, oh, well, this is too high for me, or this is too low, I need to bring this up or do something like this, then I'll do that. But I set a limit for myself. It's like, okay, 3 to 5 times I'm going to do this. If I can't get it right by the 5th time, like, it just has to go out. That's the best I'm going to get it. I'm not going to sit here and drive myself crazy doing it 10, 20, 30 times over and over again. Now, granted, I also don't have, I have not made a song that's over, I want to say like 20 tracks was probably the max that I ever had. So I can only imagine what it's like when you have something like, oh, I don't know, like 92 tracks, was it?
Are you mentioning to me or to Eon Lake? Because Eon Lake has a lot. Oh, wait, Curtis, too. Didn't Curtis have one? Yeah. I think we've all been guilty of a lot.
I don't know. I mean, I commend you guys, but, like, no, I'm gonna drive myself insane. I'm going to absolutely drive myself insane. And I don't need to drive myself any crazier than I already am.
Yeah, I now only do that if it's a commissioned work. So if it's something where I'm getting paid to do something, and you know, like that song, if you're talking about my song, that song was a commission work for a webtoon or something. So yeah. I was like, I want this thing to slap. So I needed like 6 layers of bass, that one was just in the high end, one was the mid range, one was this and that. But I mean, I still stopped myself from doing like a ton of stuff. Like, I mean, it's not cutting corners, but I was like, okay, those drums, that's it, you know, like that's that. And then when I sent it to the artist for his like final cut, he's like, yeah, that's perfect. I'm like, okay, I know there's changes I'd make, but I'm not doing it, you know? So
wait, was that your decision, or did you have kind of like a picky client that time? Or was that just you like,
they weren't picky. No, they had a specific sound in mind. They sent me some references and I was like, well, I think to get that, I'm going to need a lot of layers, because I needed certain synths that I didn't have. So to replicate that, I did like different sounds and different sections, and a lot of what I used was actually from that, I think it's Cherry Audio, the Radio Shack Moog. Eon, like, can you, what's that, is it the MG1 or something?
Yeah that's it. Yeah
A ton of stuff came from that. And then now what I use a lot for things is the SEM, the Cherry Audio synthesizer expander. So a lot of what I do in the DAW now is with like free sounds, and I just layer them or do things like that to get it to what I want. But yeah, I needed like a really synth wavy, that like dark distorted arpeggio. And so I had to do a lot of distortion, but I didn't want that on the low end. So I needed layers. And then he wanted the drums to be really loud, but I didn't want them to overpower. So it was figuring out, how do I get that really prominent kick without being like the loudest thing? So I did layers of kick, some in the high end, some in the low end, and things like that. But yeah, it's like, it's good to know how to do all that stuff, but is it worth doing that in every single song? No, because I make songs like Moonmeld is probably, I think I made that in 2 hours, like the actual making of it. And then it's like one of my best performing songs, and I love the song. Like, I wouldn't change anything about it, but I did it real quick, and it was one layer of drums that I EQ'd a bit, and put it. I always have a bus, a drum bus, where there's like a limiter and stuff that levels it out, so I don't have to do it. And then, and Curtis is working on that. I don't think there's that many stems, right?
No, there's not. Yeah. I think there's closer to 20 in that regard, you know. And the,
the drums are separate tracks. If the drums are all one track, it would be like not that many.
It would be that many. Well, I think it's a really interesting point that you bring it up in that regard, the idea of a client, you know, the idea of a fussy client, so to speak. And the notion,
just to clarify, he was not fussy.
I know.
We all know who
the best
client is, and that's yourself.
So, just for context, I'm mostly deaf in my left ear, right? So whatever I hear is completely different to what you guys supposedly hear in that regard, right? So it's a really nice unlocking notion, because I know that whatever I create, no matter what I put out into the world, it will be held or listened to in a completely different fashion to how I'm hearing it, right? Yeah. And you can make, you know, we've done plenty of jokes about the amount of basses I use and about how someone's got a preset to lower the low end of my masters for my pre-masters, for example. And that's all fine and dandy, and that's great, you know. But also what that unlocks within you is this notion that as soon as you put something out into the world, it ceases to be the thing that you made. And, you know, it goes out and it's replicated 7 billion times, assuming 7 billion people listen to it. And so therefore, there's no point fussing and making a focus on the hi-hat level or the splashiness of the snare or whether the pad is warping to a correct amount. It's just pointless. You're just going to run yourself in circles.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a level of being like, oh, that is way too loud. Like, that hi-hat's way too loud. But it's a slippery slope to then be like, oh, but now it's just a little too powered, like too high-powered in the mix, or I need to put it down or something. Yeah, so I hear you. It's finding that balance.
It's finding that balance. But also, if you listen to a lot of like early techno, right, the hi-hats are way too loud, and it was fine. And, you know, it's just hi-hats.
It's personal taste, right? Like, and how much layering you want. What do you want to be the prominent sound? It's like, that's what I mean. It's all subjective. Like, do you want the hi-hat for that groove? Or do you want the hi-hat just there kind of as like a thing, and you want the guitar to be the loudest part or something? By the way, just to show what I was talking about, this is what I wanted to do. But he freezes. Just... Sorry to change the subject. I was going to say sidechain the subject. Got production on my mind, man. Nice. But yeah, no, I hear you, man. I'm just saying, like, it's like when I was mixing on the phone, right? I didn't hear pretty much any low end. So then when I played it through the SP when I was trying to film it for the first jam for this video, the bass was just like, and I was like, okay, that's too loud. So I just took the fader down, and whatever I landed on was like, that's good enough, whatever. And then I did the jam. And then when I listened back, I was like, wow, the drums are really loud. But then I thought that actually kind of gives the song character, because the other songs have much more balanced drums in the mix that I did. But that one, like, the drums just take power in it, and it works because it's giving that groove. So, yeah.
Yeah. Some people like getting a good drum volume by having it way too loud and then just squashing them down into the song, bring the level of the song up.
Yeah, so yeah, compress.
You get a balance, but for some reason they still sound really loud, but you brought the noise floor up, i.e. the rest of the music. That kind of works.
That's the SP sidechain trick. Yeah, make your drums super loud, put the compressor on the end, and then the drums will hit everything and trigger it to duck. Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan, anything you want to say before we go to the final topic of today? Anything on this topic?
Not really. I think, for any sort of people who think that they can't make music at home, for example, you know, because everything sounds great and fantastic, then it's just tantamount to just get it out there. You know, I mean, there's loads of different ways, and you'll learn as you go along. My stuff when I first started was was made on a PlayStation. So, you know, using a cheap music sequencer. So, you know, it was very, very chiptune and very Sonic the Hedgehog style when I first started. But yeah, but I think just with the drive and the passion and everything, some of the synthesizers you can get now, some of the free stuff you can get, and some of the doors are free as well. You know, like I can't remember exactly which one it is now, but I know there is a free one out there. Then yeah, you know, just get it out there, and if it sounds good to you, then it is going to be good at the end of the day. And another trick I always do is bounce the pre-master out and then listen to it on a cheap set of earbuds, mm-hmm. And on a cheap set of headphones, and then make some calculated alterations then. So if the drums are too loud, then on the one set of speakers, but they're okay on the other, then you kind of come to a sort of a happy medium, if you like. And you will have to make compromises. You won't get everything perfect, because by the very nature of some of the frequencies, they'll mask other frequencies. So you're never going to get everything completely perfect. And it is just a game of compromise, and which bits do you prioritize over others?
That's actually a really good point, because, you know, we spend all this money on DAWs, gear, all that, headphones, speakers, plugins to mix and master to get everything to sound perfect. And then most people are listening on a phone. And this little speaker that phones are mono, you know, so that's just goes people. To show that's a really good point, Jonathan. Like, you know, we spend all this time, sync all this time. We do it for the art, right? But I'm just saying, rather than getting bogged in the like endless, oh, I could mix this thing to sound perfect. But it's like on the phone that someone's going to listen to, they're not even going to hear most of the kick or much of the low, you know, the low end in general. They'll hear the kick if you put it. But yeah, it's like you could have this super loud bass low end, but no one's even going to notice it or something. Lars, anything else you want to add before we go?
So the only thing I have to say about like constantly reworking mixes and masters and stuff is just like, it kind of reminds me of like a big problem in pop music nowadays is just like, there's a lot of focus on just the production. Like, can I make this sound really good on as many systems as possible? But at the end of the day, a lot of times it's like the song itself is just not great. You know, it's like you spend all that time literally polishing a turd. So, you know, I feel like
wonderful way of putting it.
Yeah, just don't make a turd eloquent. In the first place. It's fine.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the best way to put it. We'll end that topic there. Thank you, Lars. Such eloquence from our patron, Lars. That's why we love having him on. All right, we'll wrap up our last little bit. Just real quick, what we're all up to this week. Jonathan, what are you up to this week, besides remembering you have a release out?
I was going to say pretty much basking in the release. I'd be really interested to see how people think about it. Again, it's that perception thing, because in my head some of it can be done better, but it's out there. So any feedback on what people's favorites are, what they like, what they dislike, would be really good for me to progress forward for the next one. And I'll just be checking some ideas and playing cheap melodies on a knackered old piano on my iPhone probably, but
there you go.
That's perfect. Great.
I mean, we're really happy to have that album out and to have worked with you on it. It's awesome. And I can't encourage you all to go check it out more. It's really cool. If you're looking for that IDM fix, go check it out. And Lars, what are you up to this week? Reviews?
So I think I am finally going to sit down and actually start on this next album that I have had in my brain for like over, 3 or 4 months now? So
can I just ask really quick? In your brain, like, you have the ideas in your head, or just the concept of the album and the songs aren't there? Like, what's in your brain?
So I have the concept of the album. Yeah. I have some of the sounds in my brain, but I try not to get too focused on the sounds in my brain, because as soon as I try to put them out of my brain, they sound different. Yeah. So that's another thing that I always have to like struggle against is like, ooh, I want it to sound like this. And then when I actually start making it, it's like, no, it doesn't sound like that. So then I'll drive myself crazy for like weeks, months, even like, why can't I get it to sound right? So now I just kind of make what I make. And, you know, if it doesn't sound exactly like how I imagined it in the first place, meh, I got the basic concept. It's fine. It's like there writing an essay, like, it, you know, when you have like 2 days left to get it out. Oh, shoot, I got to get a 10-page essay done in like 24 hours. All right. Well, whatever I make is good enough. Put it out.
That's Send exactly it. What the round robin was. Perfect, the enemy of done, right? Yeah. That, look exactly. at you. You thought you ended it and you bring it right back.
Time is a flat circle.
Yeah, true. Radio. True. Well, that sounds awesome, Lars. Eon, like, what are you up to this week?
I'm just going to try and have fun. I've got a bunch of different things going on. Got a little bit of remixing to do, haven't I?
Do you still need me to send you the MIDI?
No, figured I'm good.
He was really struggling to figure out the key of the track, and I was like, I think it's borrowed chords that's in like D.
I put something in myself that had an accidental in it, and it was throwing me off. So I took it out, and everything else was just fine. But yes, that's turned into a bit of a monster, that one. So I need to get that one done. I've got some experimentations lined up, and I'm really getting back into plugging cables in with the modular now. So I want to get more done with that and run through some ideas that I've had. But that's kind of where I'm going this week, I think.
Okay.
Trying to squeeze it in.
I like it. And Curtis, what about you? I do want to just focus on you to bask in your 90s bit rate really quickly, but what are you up to this week?
It's been a poor week for my internet connection, isn't it? Obviously. It's fine. Hopefully next week will be better. I'm very much over there this week, apart from my live stream, which is going on after this. I'm sticking over there. I like over there at the moment. It's cool. It's fresh. It's different. I've put candles in wine bottles, so it's very... very nice. I'm gonna sit, play guitar, sketch stuff out, and work on a method or a workflow where I don't always have to be around this mess. This is cool and this is fun and I love this. This is cool and there's more behind the camera and I love it. There's more down here and I love it, but it's not everything. And I think I've been getting myself stuck in the same circles and in the same spaces and in the same stuff. So I'm gonna be over there for another week before I even come back to this space, I think. And yeah, there's a guitar that's plugged in. I've got a little 25 key M Audio MIDI controller and nothing much else. It's gonna be great, I think. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, I do have to finish that remix. I did promise you that by the end of the month. It might be the first week of May, but we'll see.
we'll get there. It's all right. I was watching what you did on the stream. It was pretty trippy.
I'm in the overdub phase. So I've done all the structure and done everything like that and how it comes through. And now I'm just adding overdubs with these guys and rises and fucking with your effects. We've already been demonetized if we were, because Elon Lake said shit. So I'm going to say that.
Just mark it, because I need to cut them for Spotify. That's the issue, because Spotify just crawls. They do auto captions now, so they crawl. So if I were to say, so just mark the 119.37. Yeah, every video has captions now that they auto generate. And so if you forget to mark it as explicit, and even if you do mark it as explicit, you can have problems. That's the issue.
Okay, fair enough. But either way, my notion is that's where I'm going to be, not at this desk, apart from finishing off your remix, which I'll get there. And that's been a real trip for me, working in session view as opposed to arrangement view for the first time, which is nice. Yeah. That's really fun. So, yeah. What about you, bro?
Well, I was just going to say, it's really good to get out of those normal workflows, right? The way where we're used to working. Like, I haven't been here. I've been just in Koala and figuring out how to do that. And then I've created this little space in the house that's the SP and the laptop and a MIDI controller, and it's just all I've been doing is the live looping, because I've got USB-C, so I can send the DAW into my SP as basically like the ultimate synthesizer, because whatever synth I want, I just open it in the DAW and then I can just live loop it. So I've been figuring out, I made a video on the live looper that'll be up in not this week but next week. And it was figuring out kind of all the different ways you can use it. And that was my favorite way, because it's just like, it's awesome. I can just have like a Rhodes piano and then layer of that and then go to Octave Cat and do like this Warped Boards of Canada sound and then just go from there. And then doing that play rate. Oh, I do that play rate drop all the time, where you just drop that rate and it just goes so slow. I love it. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'll be doing when I have time. And then I have a Koala Sampler SP beat set coming out tomorrow. And then how I did the beats, like breaking down the samples and the chops. So that's what's going on. I have to film one last thing for it today. It's a buzzer beat. I have one last thing. It's just like a talking head piece. So I'll be doing that. But yeah, that's it. That is all I've got. And that's all we've got. Curtis, anything you want to add? I know we've got to say that the playlist is up. The link is in the description. I have been updating the playlist. It's almost at 600 followers. So it's been growing. Yeah. I think it went up 100 since we started updating it regularly again. Goes to show, I guess. But yeah, if you've got music that you want on the playlist, first of all Audionautic Records label mates have their tracks on there. So it's a great place if you use Spotify to help support both them, but any artists. You know, because Spotify now limits, you need 1,000 streams before they pay out. So this is one way we're trying to work around that. If you want to help artists reach that, head to the playlist. We've got everybody there. If you have a song you think fits, submit it on the Discord. The Discord link is in the description. Curtis, you're typing, so I'm going to single you out. No, I'm just kidding. I was, of course, right when I'm going to throw it over to you, you happen to be typing. And I'm like, oh, man. But is there anything I'm missing? Oh, Starstream. I'll let you talk about Starstream then.
Yeah, Starstream Sunday, patrons, 8 p.m. CET, so 7 p.m. UTC, 11 a.m. Pacific, or PDT as it is at the moment, because, you know, that's cool. Just missing the S, aren't you, really? That'll be there. It's going to be fun. If patrons, if you're around, you want to join us for the show, come. It's not really a show. We do record it for patrons who can't turn up, but yeah, if you want to talk about anything in particular, stick it in the Patreon group so we know what's going down. And yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's always chill. I'm gonna have a craft beer this week, I think.
I want to talk about that Spotify being profitable, because that's just
he means he wants to spend.
The audiobooks.
We're always there to listen to you vent.
Okay, Spotify's got me venting sometimes, but I'd like to talk about that to hear, because the patrons, especially Lars, has a lot of interesting takes on it. And I think, and not just curse words, but in general, you have very interesting takes on it. But I mean, it's interesting. The fact that they added audiobooks, and that means lower mechanical license payout for any songwriter, because they've made this by default. It's just ridiculous. So we'll talk about that on Starstream, but we'll talk about happier things as well, like production.
Okay, cool.
Don't worry.
I love being reminded of the multi-billion dollar company that just absolutely hates us. Just nothing but contempt for us.
But we are a music production and marketing place. And so we need to vent about these things that are screwing us over, because this is a place where we have like-minded people that understand the problem. Because when you mention Spotify, for most people, they're just thinking as a consumer, like, hey, it's cheap and I can listen to everything. But it also affects artists and smaller artists and things like that. So I think it's good to just have that, Jonathan. Jeff. But yeah, Starstream will be Sunday. We will talk about some awesome stuff. And patrons, if you have anything you want to talk about that's happier or not as happy, whatever, put it in the Discord. We'll talk about it. And lastly, I just want to add, Curtis whipped up a very interesting sample pack for our patrons that he put up, I think, for Audionaut Plus, Curtis, the $5 and up tier?
$5 and up, yeah.
Yeah, normally these will be for the $7, but this is the introductory one, so we wanted as many to be able to access it. It's really cool. I got to get my hands on it still, but it's mostly the field recordings and stuff, right?
Yeah, so I've been on my travels when I've been in Central Europe, and when I went back to the UK, went down to the sea. So I got some nice nature sounds, some streams, some sea, some wind, my old Nana's clock, which ticks really nicely, which is great. That's not nature, but it's fun. And then what I did was I resampled everything, whacked it into Sampler in Ableton, and repackaged everything up and turned it into original drum kit sounds. I got three or four kicks, snares, hi-hats, crashes, open hats, etc. All original. Nothing I've stolen from other sample packs. And a lot of people just buy sample packs and flip them. This is all like original audio. Take it and just use it.
Found sounds that you've turned into drums. That's I can't wait to do it. I'll have to I'm backlogging my videos, like I have extra, but I'll have to cover that in one of the videos. But I just want to mention that Smiling Errors mentions or brings up that Lars has a Wrath of Khan moment every time we say Spotify, where your face twitches. So he wants to go, Spotify! Yeah. Well,
bring me the head of Daniel Ek.
If you head to Starstream, you can watch Lars just get incredibly irate and irritated about Spotify.
Yeah, you could even goad him if you get to join, you see.
Yeah, there you go.
Perks of membership. Well,
with that, we'll let Lars get a rest before Sunday. So we'll wrap it up. We'll be back Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. UTC. But patrons, will see you on Sunday, that same time, for Starstream and for Lars's incoming just Hulk moment. But yeah, Curtis, anything you want to add before we go?
No, just thank you ever so much for listening, watching. I've been a bit blurry this week, but you all have been looking beautiful. And yeah, there is me. I'm now just talking to myself on my screen. I'm in full HD. That's the thing. That's why it's so weird for me. But
you,
yeah.
Well, would I do that though? Do you just see you in HD? Because you're just like,
I see me. You're just like, I see me in full HD.
Oh, you're just completely just like digital realm right now. Like
Curtis, do you remember back in the day of the early internet when Real Player existed?
Yes,
you look like Real Player right now.
It's probably better than my HD form, to be honest. So it's pretty good. So yeah, thank you so much for sticking with us for the full hour and a half. It's been great. We've had a great show. It's wonderful. This is, yeah, one of those episodes where it's like there's no news, and then all of the news that comes around, and it's been great. So thank you ever so much.
That's a lot.
We will be exactly.
We appreciate you hanging out with that. And I just want to mention, to me, you kind of seem like the PlayStation or Metal Gear, where it's like the warping textures. You just kind of warp around. Yeah.
Oh, nostalgia.
Yeah. I need to play Metal Gear.
I'm glad
Gear
that
again.
I'm doing some vibes.
Yeah.
We'll leave. We'll leave some warper to go play Metal Gear Solid. We'll be back next week.
No, I don't have time to play video games right now. I can dream about playing Metal Gear.
I'll give you that one.
If I were sleeping, that is.
So yeah, let's call it. We'll be back next week.
Right.
Yeah, lovely to see everyone.
All right, thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.